You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Descarty. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, Marco Bill. Thanks for asking. And I got to tell all our listeners out there, this is going to be like old home week. We got some people on, some folk out there that hadn't been on the show for over a year, for crying out loud, maybe two. We got some of our friends down there in Arizona. You've all heard, you've seen them in the movie, Roger Patterson. Not Roger Patterson, but Roger Patterson. He was in Bigfoot Lives. He's with us. Tonight, everybody says, my gosh, we love when he tells us the story, so our new Bigfoot listeners are going to hear that story all over again tonight. He's going to give us an upbeat on what's been going on down there by him. And we've got Liston Truesdale. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the retired sheriff back in the 80s that did the Lizard Man and brought it to prominence. One hell of a guy. Got him with us tonight. Hopefully we're going to see if we can get Tim on, Tim Peeler. This is what the national news, folks. Tim Peeler was back there in North Carolina. He's the one that he had a rough talking with that big staff, that big stick that he had. And a lot of things. But before we get into any of our guests, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about this weather that we're having around this country? You hear me talk about it all the time. California really hasn't been hit with a summer. But guess what? The rest of the country has been devastated. Texas, Arizona, triple-digit heat, hurricanes, earthquakes. Not normal, folk. None of this stuff is normal. I got to tell you, you know. Hey, before I go any further, too, hey, to the cats in the chat room, Tyler, Ader, Flycatcher, Billy Green, Texas Lone Star, East Coast Jack, Gentle Giant, 6'4 Sasquatch, Lee Joyner, and Lauren, God bless you guys, man. Again, it's you people that's keeping us going as strong as we are. Mount Adirondacks, whatever the hell you pronounce that. And Dr. Watson, you're with us tonight. And a lot of friends, too. A lot of stuff's going on. You know, I want to tell all you folk out there, I don't get a chance to recognize these folk. And they're the people that really keep us going, to be honest with you. If it wasn't for our stores department, we couldn't get out there and do what we do in our merchandising. Linda Rubalcava in Port St. Lucie, Florida. She ordered a T-shirt, Bigfoot Lives, too. We got Michael Dockery from Brockton, Massachusetts. He ordered Bigfoot Lives, too. We got a John Downer from Hardin, Montana. Dig this, folks. He bought commemorative color belt. He bought the belt buckle. He bought the camouflage hat in two different colors, the brown and the green. He bought Bigfoot Lives, and then he bought the lapel, and he bought the expedition mug. Great guy. Thanks so much there, John. I noticed that we back-ordered the brown camouflage for you. It's coming to you. Jessica Lowry, Redding, California, got Bigfoot Lives, too. Donald Labriola, Mokena, Illinois, he got Bigfoot Lives, too. Richard Rothen, New Milford, Connecticut. What did he get? He got Bigfoot Lives, too. Karen Richardson, Northborough, Massachusetts. She got Bigfoot Lives 1 and a T-shirt. What else we got here now? Richard Substat, one of our gutties. From Oakview, California. He got Bigfoot Lives 2 also. John Beard, Hartboro, Pennsylvania. Bigfoot Lives 2. James S. Diamond, Warner Robins, Georgia. He got Bigfoot Lives 2 and the Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Thank you, Jared. Jared Diamond, his name is. Tom Catiolotis in Kahana, Ohio. He got Searching for Bigfoot Hat. We got a Randy Boyer, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. He got Bigfoot Lives, too. Tom Panic, he got Bigfoot Lives, too. Joey Dias, Bronson, Texas. He got Bigfoot Lives, too. Jim Dawson, South Barrington, Illinois, got Bigfoot Lives, too. Anthony Rivera, Farmville, Virginia, got Bigfoot Lives, too. Ernest Tooley, Lichtfield, Illinois, got Bigfoot Lives, too. Nicholas Key from Flagstaff, Arizona, Bigfoot Lives, too. Ladies and gentlemen, and they go on and on and on, but, you know, I wanted to acknowledge these folks because without them, there's no us, all right? And that's what it's all about, true story. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys because without you, there's no us, like I've always said. I got to tell you something. Mark this day down. It's the 31st of August, ladies and gentlemen. A week from today, which will be, I guess, the 7th, Bill?
It'll be the, actually, it's the 14th.
No, Bill. A week from today, Bill. I think
no,
it's the 7th.
Our anniversary is on the 14th of September.
Well, we haven't talked about that, but we'll get into that, too. I just told everybody to mark this day down because a week from today, ladies and gentlemen, you guys are going to be hearing stories and hear tell that everybody around the country has seen Bigfoot one time or another. And let me tell you why. This is the last big weekend of the summer, ladies and gentlemen. So keep your eyes open, your ears to the ground, and look up high in the trees when you're out. Because what you're going to be seeing is a lot of creatures roaming. This is the last big camping weekend of the year. So by the time we have our show next Wednesday, trust me, we're going to have a lot of stories to tell everybody. And possibly there'll be a bunch of them that have hit the news reels. And we'll try to have those people on with us also. And thank you so much, Marco Bill, for telling us the story about our 5th year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen, on the 14th of September. The 14th of September will have been on the air for 5 years. Pretty incredible, isn't it? 5 years. Okay? They said we wouldn't last a month. And how many have we seen come and go, Bill?
Too many.
Too many. So it's just an incredible, incredible thing. I'm stoked. I'm pumped. We're still together and we're still here talking about what we know how to talk about best Bigfoot. All right, so who's our first guest out there, Bill?
Well, Tom, you know, I just wanted to say something. Danny is not reachable right now, and I believe what it is his phone. Danny has been on the show several times. He's from New York. He's got a little creek behind that he used to go back, and he found footprints. He had rock throws, and a few other things happen. Incidents happen. He was on the show to describe that. And just recently, as everybody knows, the hurricane went through New York, and he was devastated completely. His house was completely completely gone away. The little creek no longer exists. The way it was, it's either rerouted or completely gone. He ended up only in his Jeep and whatever he could get out of there with. He's living in a log cabin right now, a little cabin. And the guy let him live in there for a week or two until he can get resituated. And he wanted to be on tonight because what he wanted to do is explain his situation and what's happened up there. And not just him, but many of the other people that live around him had the same situation. But he's not going to be on tonight. Our next guest, Tom, is going to be Tim to start out. And then what I'm going to do, if Liston is having problems dialing in, and after Tim is done, we'll go with Roger, and then I'm going to get Liston. I'm going to dial him in the same as I did Tim. Okay? We'll get him on.
But do we have Tim on now?
Tim is on now, and I'm going to unmute him, and he'll be right with us here.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a little brief story about Tim. That story went nationally and internationally all over the news media waves, and we were one of the first on the scene, if not the first, in which I sent Chuck Creel and Youngblood up there. And this is the guy that had to rough talk this creature with his big staff that he had to get him away. And he pretty much remembers, and he says that he's got one of them creatures roaming those mountains up there and has been going up there for years. Timmy, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, good buddy? How you
Hello.
Doing?
I'm doing great.
Attaboy. Listen, why don't you remind my listeners out there, if you don't mind, how that big incident, you know, you became a big celebrity out in the news when that creature came in, you called it with that homemade gear of yours, and then the thing came, then it started bothering you, and tell everybody what you had to do to rough talk it with that big staff of yours in your hand.
Really, I did not call it.
Okay. Okay, what did you do?
This all started back about 25 years ago.
Okay.
I was hog and bear hunting up in the Appalachian Mountains above Robbinsville, North Carolina. And we were camping on the ridge. And about 3:30 in the morning, I heard a whistle. I was awake because I was freezing to death. My sleeping bag was outdated. I woke my buddy up. I told him, I said, listen. And this thing started whistling. It must have been an old Sasquatch because the way it whistled. And at the end of its whistle was a groan. They said, it's a bird. I said, no, it's not. I took my light up and looked at him with my light and a .44 Magnum pistol, but I would not shoot it. Okay, he come on down the ridge. Okay, we went back to the next year. He came down the same ridge. Whistle again. I said, there he is, boys. I went back out, took my light, shined it on him. Then the third year, we were bear and hog hunting. He was late. He didn't come down at 3:30 in the morning. We went up the ridge about 5 miles, and it was breaking daylight. We were all getting ready to go bear hunting, hog hunting with the dogs. And me and my buddy, I said, listen, here it comes. And me and my buddy run down the road, the logging road, BC road. I said, listen to him walking on 2 feet. I shined my light on him right before daylight. He seen him. I was scared to shoot him. I had a 30-30 in my hand. I was scared. I didn't know whether there was somebody in a suit or whether I would get in trouble. This was 25 years ago. Okay. Nothing happened till then. Then, about 5 years ago, I was bow hunting up right here in Cleveland County, North Carolina, in the South Mountains. I had a very special bait mixed up, poured out on the ground. I mixed up in a 5-gallon bucket, yellow corn, sugar and salt, and grape and cherry Kool-Aid mixed with it. So it would swell into the corn. I poured it out. I let it set for a couple of days. Then I climbed the tree. And I heard a keen whistle. I said, that's not the same whistle I heard up in the Appalachian. But that's similar. It was a small one, about 5 foot tall. He came down to my bait pile, scooped up both hands, and ate my corn. I would not shoot him. I was scared to death. I didn't know who was with him. And I did not want to shoot him. And then he went on. Then, last year, I was laying here by myself. My wife was in the rest home. My dog started barking. I had two dogs in heat. I walked out on the front porch, turned the light on. I'm in the timber line up here, isolated by myself, on the ridge in the South Mountains, by myself up here in the wilderness. And this Sasquatch, a big one, 10 feet tall, with a yellowish gray beard, stepped out of the woods. And when I turned the lights on and walked out, he went back into the woods. I turned the lights back off, come back into the house, lay back down on the couch. Then the dog started barking again. I had two female dogs in heat. He come on out when I went out, turned the light on. He went to my little dog, Mountain Feist, and this Sasquatch went up to my dog. And she actually got her chain wrapped around his leg. And I walked out there. I'm not going to say what else I had, but I had a stick. I seen he was harmless. I punched him in the stomach and told him to get away from here. I said, get away from here. And the dog got loose from him. He walked back up the same path he went. That's the last I've seen of it. It was the biggest one I ever saw. He was the yellowish, grayest, tallest one I ever saw.
Wow. Wow.
And that...
Let me ask you this.
That's the end of the story. Believe it or not.
No, I understand. I want to ask you something. Hold on, Tim. When you hit it in the stomach, what did you hit in the stomach with?
A stick.
That big stick.
A walking stick.
That's it.
A cut walking stick out of the woods. A punching stick. That I chopped out of the woods.
Was this a male or female?
You could tell he was a male by his testicles and so forth.
Did he groan or growl?
He was very old.
Okay. Old.
He never made a sound.
Never made a sound. Did you get to see
never
its face
made
at
it
all?
Sound. No.
Did you get to see its face, Tim?
Yes, very clearly.
What did it look like?
Well, it looked to me like a man. A man-like face. A little hairy. A long beard that was yellowish gray. Yellowish gray.
Huh? Wow.
But I'm not going to say whether I was armed or unarmed. I'm not going to say that.
Did it have hair on its face?
I did not harm him.
I know, Tim. Did it have hair on its face? And did you see the color of its eyes?
Well, I don't recollect the color of his eyes. As far as I know, he's brown-eyed.
Was there hair on its face?
Yes, on each side of his jaws. And down his chin, a long beard. A yellowish-gray beard.
Let me ask you this. Did you, while the dog's chain was around its leg, did it chip off any hairs off of its leg?
No, I never checked.
So since then, You haven't had any incidents, huh?
No.
Do you know that about 2 weeks later, about 5 miles down the road from you, there was another incident down there with footprints?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, we were the first on the scene down there also. And we got that. It's all on searchingforbigfoot.com. Well, listen, I got to tell you, your wife hasn't been well, right?
Right. She was in the rest home.
Rest home. Well, we're going to...
this happened.
Yeah, is she still... How is she now?
She's here with me now.
Is she okay?
She's doing good.
God bless her. Okay, that's good. Well, listen, thank you for having the guts to come back on our show and giving us an update and telling us the story again for our new listeners. And we can't wait to get back into your area, and when we do, we'll stop by and give it a visit with you, okay?
Okay.
God bless you, my brother. Take care of yourself.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Tim Peely. You heard it firsthand right here, okay, on Bigfoot Live Radio. You know, you hear about all these people out there that have these radio shows, and they talk about third and fourth parties. You just heard it, first party. This was something that hit the media, went all over the world. You see it. You see the media clips. You see it on our website. The man saw something. That's for damn sure. On the other side of this commercial, I hope we're going to talk to my good friend in North Carolina also, Liston Truesdale. Until then, let's go to a commercial, okay, Marco?
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom, and we have Liston on.
Oh, what a big treat, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready. We're ready. What do we got? Feedback, Bill?
Yes, it is. It's no longer, though.
Okay, good. Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. You're going to get to hear it from my friend, my good friend, down there in Bishopville, North Carolina, Liston Truesdale.
South Carolina.
Man. He's a retired sheriff down that area. He was on the scene first when it all took place, when it went worldwide about the lizard man. Without any further ado, Liston, you out there with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you, my good friend?
Everything is going good since 1988, when all of this took place, which began with it. Something mauled a car that brought our attention to it. And since then, we've had some other cases of a car being, a vehicle being mauled, and that was in February of 2008. Something really chewed up a vehicle, and the lizard man got credit for it. And then on July the 5th, the same thing happened again, and this was about almost 20 miles apart. All of it happening in the same county. And 1 week later, or 2 weeks later, it attacked that same vehicle again. And the teeth marks goes all the way through the middle. It appears that it might be some animal after another. But nobody knows what it is.
You know, I've got to tell you, Liston, it was an honor being down there with you and your lovely wife, Betty. Is her name Betty?
That's correct.
Yeah, and a couple of your other deputies that showed us around, and including the new sheriff in the county. But the thing that blew our minds, okay, was that you had the original casts back in 1988. You still got those things?
I still got it.
Amazing, amazing. And we saw it, ladies and gentlemen. We were there, okay? We went to Scape Ore Swamp. And boy, I'll tell you, you ever get out there to Bishopville, you stop in to see Liston because he can tell you some stories. How long were you a sheriff there, Liston?
19 years.
19 years. Before you passed on the baton, huh?
That's correct. And I just had enough and decided I wouldn't run anymore.
But you did a hell of a job while you were there, didn't you?
I really did. I can. By the way, I'm planning to write 4 books of all these. And the first one is going to be Carolina Moonshine, about moonshining. And the third one's going to be the whole history of the Lizard Man.
Wow.
And I can
tell you what, that's got to be a bestseller, especially coming from all the records and everything that you know of down in that area, knowing it all firsthand. Now, here's something that my listeners don't know, and I want you to tell it firsthand coming from you. The Dawsons that we came out to see when it chewed up, this creature chewed up its van, I heard that both of them are dead today. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And then, apparently, there's a new incident that the Lizard Man struck again. Is that correct?
That's correct. And July the 5th, he struck again in another vehicle very similar to the one that you saw.
Another van.
Another Dodge van. And take that on July the 5th, and on July the 25th, he attacked it again and chewed it up, just like you saw the van in the Rawson's yard, that Dodge van, both of them being Dodge vans. And you saw how it bit all the way through the metal and pulled the fenders out.
Oh, it was incredible, you know. Did they show pictures of the new van, too, that happened in July?
Yeah.
Was it pretty much similar to the last one?
Very, very similar. Yeah, very similar. I don't think it was quite as deep as the car in 2008. The van. But something's got some powerful jaws. And as I tell the people, I don't want any confrontation with him.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look here. We got ourselves an emergency. That's in commemorating you on here. There goes one of your sirens, believe it or not. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in Bigfoot Lives 2, you'll see the entire interview of Liston and his associates. You'll see the Dawsons. God rest their soul, both of them, the husband and wife. You'll see the van where this thing chewed it up. And you'll see the whole 9 yards, okay? And you'll even see the, what was that, a Mercury or a Lincoln, the one back in 88?
That was a Ford, an 85 Ford LTD.
LTD. Well, both right then. I said no.
And it really did a good job on that. I don't see how an animal could have done that the way it was done. And we got good pictures of all of it.
Yeah, and all those pictures, ladies and gentlemen, are in the movie along with the cast that Listern and his deputies made, and the whole story. You'll hear him say it in our movie, Bigfoot Lives 2. You need to get it. Well, Listern, God bless you, and our prayers go out to Betty. We'll do a massive prayer out here in the next month, every week, just for her. And we'll be coming out to see him. By the way, check your post in the next week. You'll have that new movie. Take a look at it and call me. Let me know what you think, okay?
Appreciate it so much.
God bless you, buddy, and it's good hearing from you.
God bless
you. Tell Betty that I miss her fried chicken.
Okay.
All right?
I surely will.
God bless you, my brother. Just mute yourself out. There's a whole lot more show than you can get to listen to. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, this is a nostalgic night for me. It's, I was there personally with these people, some of them anyway, and they became such friends of ours. There's the old adage, when you become family and your loyalty lies with you, money can't buy what we've got. That's a beautiful thing. We're going to go on another commercial here. But before I do, on the other side of that commercial, do we have Roger?
Yes, we do.
Oh, lady, get ready for your seatbelts now and get ready with the tissues. Because everybody that hears this story, especially the women, they cry. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. Receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years. And say it's not you, it's not you.
Bigfoot is a movie right now at
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Marco. You know, ladies and gentlemen, more and more when I think about this, I'm just looking at the cover of our movie, Bigfoot Lives 2. If you do not have this movie, trust me, you need to get it, okay? We're going to be all my four movies are all going to be on video on demand. Netflix are going to have them. They all have now. It'll all be out there in the month of November. We signed a contract. It's just incredible. But stories like this, the real deal stories of firsthand information coming from the people who were there, tell them straight up, is in Bigfoot Lives 2. You know, people are hailing it that it's just as good, if not better, than Bigfoot Lives 1. Depends on who you talk to. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have it, get it. Because it's one hell of a... You can go out and see all these other backyard, yokel, local... and I'm not trying to put anybody down, because anything you do in the Bigfoot world is great. Okay? But do it. Okay? Because you got a lot of people out there that got big mouths and don't do nothing. Okay, they've done no contributions in the Bigfoot world. Flap them gums. Try to get on somebody else's shirt tails and rise to the top. But they can't fool the real people. The real people know who they are. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Arizona and see my brother from another mother, Roger Peterson. Roger, you out there?
You bet I am, Tom.
How are you, buddy?
Oh man, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good, my friend.
You know, doesn't this feel like old home week?
Oh yes it does. I'll tell you.
By the way, Rex Abigail is in the chat room right now and he says, "Tell Roger hi for me." And boy, can he tell a lot of stories about you, couldn't he?
Yeah, he sure could. Him and I got to be very, very close.
Well, gosh, how many times did he pick you up and you guys went out together?
About 3-4 different times.
Yeah. And one of the first times, I'll never forget it, one of the first times that you guys beat us out to Texas, you remember what happened there?
Yes, sir, we do. I sure do. We come up there over there by Pat Mays Lake, and that little bridge, I can't remember exactly where it's at down there, but Rex and I were out there scouting around, and we were sitting back. Rex was trying to fix the camera where we could drive down the road with it, and this great big huge male come right across the road right in front of us. And it was a scary situation, and we tried to follow it, and darned if we didn't get part of it on film as it came walking around the tree. And that was.
You know, Roger, I'm so happy, number one, that you're on our show once again, because everybody that sees Bigfoot Lives One and they see your segment down there in Arizona, and when you tell it with such sincerity, with such passion in your heart and voice, it just blows everybody away. And, you know, it's like I told all the people, you can't stage what came from that man's mouth and his expressions in his eyes. If he did, he's probably an Academy Award winner, and he should be out there getting the Golden Globe or some kind of award as an actor. But this man, what you're seeing is natural. It's real. And you know what? Practically everybody that's seen it, they all agree. And that's one of the most special parts of Bigfoot Lives One. What I'd like for you to do is, to our new listeners, they've seen you on film. They heard about it, but they've never heard it firsthand from you. Would you be kind enough to retell that story?
You betcha, Pop. I'll tell you what. With that town down there in Gila Bend in the area of Painted Rock, I was ridiculed so bad that I had to move. But now, when I go down there, after I had the guts to call you and talk to you about it, then now every time I go down there, everybody sees me and they say, "Hey, look, it's the guy with the hat," you know? And I feel really honored, Pop. I really do, you know, because this is something that happened to me, and it's hard to relive it, if you know what I mean.
Well, let me ask you something before you get into the story. When
sure.
You called me or contacted me, how long was it and where was I before I got to where you were?
Oh, man, you were out up in the New York area, and you were down there to me in 10.5 hours.
Pretty incredible, huh?
You
okay. I didn't mean, and I don't know if it took just 10.5 hours. I'm sure it took a lot more than that if I was in New York, but nevertheless, but I want you to tell everybody, and don't leave anything out, tell everybody what happened with you and your family when you were out in Gila Bend.
Oh, you betcha, Pop. It was back in May, about the 15th of May of 1987. Me and a couple of my friends got together and were going fishing out at Painted Rock. We heard about this real good spot that was up by the dam in the slough, and so we got set in for the night, you know, and we were going to catch some big fish, so we thought. Well, I did catch one that was about an 8-pounder, which was pretty good size, and we kept it, but we didn't plan on what happened after that, because There was five of us all together, and I was the only one that had a weapon of any kind, and it was just a little 410 shotgun. And anyway, it was about 2:30 in the morning with a full moon out, And I was laying back in the rocks and kind of like a position where I was really comfortable, and I had my little rifle beside me, and all of a sudden it got dark. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. It's a full moon. What's going on, you know? And I looked up, and there stood right over my head, not 3 feet above me, this female Bigfoot. And when I saw her, she just froze like a tree, you know? And I thought to myself, I looked up and I said, oh, great, that's all I need, a freaking Bigfoot, you know? And I jumped up because I realized I wasn't dreaming. And she disappeared back in the bush back behind us. Well, next thing I know, we're clamoring around, and we had a Coleman lantern with us that was putting out really, really bright light. And the guys were trying to take and use poles and tie their knives to it for like a spear or something, because, like I said, I was only one owner. And before we knew it, right out in front of us in the water that I had been in many times that came up to my neck, stood this creature that was over 9.5 feet tall, because the water barely came to his waist. So he had to be that at about 4 foot wide shoulders. And we just sat there watching with the light. You could see his eyes glowing kind of a red color. And that's typical of a nocturnal creature, you know. And when the lantern went out, we built the fire up where it was throwing flames eight feet tall. And it didn't stop that creature. He came at me. And I was dumping shells as fast as I could with my little 410 topper, and it didn't bother him. He kept coming. So I had no choice. I had no choice, Tom. I had to shoot him. And when I shot him, he took his right hand and he put it up on his chest. Then he turned complete left, I mean body the whole nine yards, turned back to me, and then he turned around and he went through 25 yards of that little light there, just like a knife going through butter. He crashed through the trees, and he let out this god-awful scream that on your commercial that I heard, and every time I hear that scream, it just sends chills up and down my spine. But thank God I was able to get those guys out of there, you know. And like I said, at first, when I got out and was telling people about it, they were ridiculing me, and then the game warden tried to arrest me, Tom. And I said, well, what are you arresting me for? And he says, because you shot an endangered species. I said, really? I said, okay. I said, here's what's going to happen. I said, you take me to jail. I said, my wife and I both get to see what I shot, and then my wife's going to the news. And when I told him that, then he backs off and he says, well, hey, you know, you just stay where you can be found, you know. But he's my next door neighbor, Tom. Wow. You know, kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got to tell you, we've all gone through this one way or another. And then up in Skamania County, they placed a fine of $10,000 if you kill one of these things up there in Washington. I still think it's on the books. I don't even know anymore. But I'll tell you this, you know, until there's one that's found, how can you equate it to anything? And that's all bullshit. You know, you and I both know that. How can you kill a species that they've never found or identified and put it in the books?
Exactly, my friend. Exactly.
You know, I want to get off that story just for a second. You know, we're coming on 5 years, Roger.
Yes, we are.
Can you imagine how it was I thought it was actually longer than that, but I guess the show has been for five. Marco, you sure it's just five?
Yeah, it's 5 years, and 6 years since you went on the 6 years since you went on all the expeditions. We started it after the first year.
Okay, thank you for that. You know, as you get older, sometimes you forget. But what I'm trying to say is, back in the days when we started, my gosh, there was very few calls, very few sightings, very few encounters. And it wasn't until I really believe that our show, amongst others, but ours more so than others, because we've never faltered. Every week, we bring you new and exciting encounters, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Because there are so many people out there. When I'm not available to do the show, of course, Bill gets some of our people that have been on the show that assist with him and everything else. But we try to get new product for you each and every week. We don't like to rehash or regurgitate all the past and all the bullshit. But I'll tell you what, this has been one night for me that's like old home week. I've enjoyed it. I know a lot of our people out there have enjoyed it. And when I hear Roger talk about his experience. You know, it's been a while since we talked, and we've gone through a lot, you and I, not just in the Bigfoot world, but personally.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
A lot about what you've gone through and vice versa. You know, and then I listened to the story about you told me about some of these guys who didn't know much about Bigfoot, never been on an expedition except for their own little region or backyard, but I've given them their start. How many people do you think that Tom Biscardi and his team in searching for Bigfoot helped out during these years, Roger?
Well, Tom, I got a feeling in my soul. Okay, when we did that segment that Scott Davis filmed, when you came down to meet me, there are over 3,039,000 hits on that site. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not.
Scott Davis had called me back and said that they had to replay that due to the fact that they got so many replies and people asking, can they keep it up? That was the longest. That's the reason why he did two or three shows on us, you know.
Exactly.
It was a pretty incredible story. Okay, and not many people got to get on the air as long as I think that was a 7-minute story, wasn't it?
Yes, it was actually a little bit longer, and it's posted up on YouTube, and you just type in Bigfoot in Arizona, and it'll take you right to it.
Yeah. You know, we used to have it on our website. I don't know what Bill did with it. I can't find nothing. I don't know what I'm doing anyway when it comes to that. But I think you go to Bigfoot Live News. What is it, Bill?
For which?
To see all the news reels that they've been on. We've been on 50 of them.
BigfootLiveNews.com
or what?
Yeah, BigfootLiveNews.com.
Okay. And is there a button on any of our websites that we can press where they can go
to? It's on every one of the websites, but all you got to do is just go to www.BigfootLiveNews, and you got 43 videos.
Oh, 43 videos. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Pretty incredible stuff. You know, I got to tell you something, Adrian, and next guest, Jack, please forgive me. We'll have you back on next week. We'll give you a whole section, but this has been like old home week for me, Jack, and I have gotten your emails, and they're interesting as hell. I don't get a chance to talk to these people much. But you know what? I'm going to bring Marco on here with me just for a second with us, Roger, if I can. Marco,
sure.
tell Roger a little bit what we talked about this morning about these people that we've helped out through the years and how they all think that they can come out and be the Bigfoot hunter or the big guru.
Well, there's quite a few people that we've had associated with, and through the years, and after a period of time, they for some reason or another, either through greed or whatever reason, they went off on their, they thought they could go out and do the same thing on their own. And the truth is they really can't. Even the TV shows that you see out there, the people don't have the material to cover it. They call us and send us emails all the time to fill in their stories and their TV shows with the stuff that we've gathered through the years. And the reason is because two things. One, very few people do what we do. When Tom goes out there and they interview the people, those are real people. And if you look at most other programs, they really don't get into the people. They get into their own selves and their research, and they get into the heavy-duty type of the research. Well, that's fine, and there's a place for that. But what we do is we get into the real people and the real experiences. And not only do we go down and interview them, but we also do the research that they and try to substantiate what they saw, where they saw it, and we come up with evidence most of the times. And if you take a look at most others, you'll see that they really don't have any much evidence other than going on YouTube or someplace and trying to pick out videos that somebody else has done or little pieces of everybody else's work. So it's very difficult to duplicate what we do because it's very hard work. It takes dedication. Very few people want to go trudging around out in the middle of nowhere. Tom, you've been bitten by snakes 3 times. You've had malaria from mosquitoes. You've had Lyme disease from the damn ticks. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to go through in about 5 years that I've 6 years that I've known.
I know. I've been there, Bill. I've had softball-sized rocks thrown at me. I got bit by a snake, and just recently, being out on an encounter, I wound up getting bit by a brown recluse spider and almost lost my foot.
You know, I'll tell you what, those things are something else. These spider bites, ladies and gentlemen, you got to be really careful with. Now they got this new tick out there, that they call it the green tick. You got to worry about those things, too. But nevertheless, I want to thank all my guests tonight, Liston Truesdale, Tim Peeler, you especially, you know, Roger, we've been on so many hunts together, and it's just been wonderful. It's been a joy, and you know what? We've kept this family together with people like you. What do you say about all these people that think that they can come and rob from us, steal from us in our, on our website, and all of our people that we've been out to, because they don't have the guts to get out there themselves and get fresh material? What do you say to people like that, Roger?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tom, with people like that, if they really want to get serious about Bigfoot, they need to be out there in the bushes with you and me and Bob and all the guys, and even like Andy Benoit from New York, you know.
You know, I remember Andy when he was 300 pounds. Then I remember he came out the first time with us. That guy saw firsthand information. My gosh, look at the time. By the way, Dave, again, hold on. East Coast Jack, thank you so much for understanding. We'll have you on next week. Dave-O, give me a call after the show. I want to talk to you. Roger, Liston, Tim, God bless all you guys. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise for the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, legend, tales, and